The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from teenvogue.com. With AI and layoffs, are teens still looking for careers in tech? This article was written by Charlie Locke on October 28th, and there is a note. This story originally ran in Wired. Today's high school students face an uncertain road ahead. AI is changing what skills are valued in the job market, and the Trump administration's funding cuts have stalled scientific research across disciplines. Most professions seem unlikely to look the same in 10 years, let alone 50. Even students interested in STEM subjects are asking, "What can my career look like, and how do I get there?" Wired talked to 5 high school seniors from across the country about their interest in STEM and how they're making sense of the future. These comments have been edited for length and clarity. This generation needs to be at the forefront of AI development. I've always had an interest in computer science, but my interest in AI started my junior year. The part that hooked me was how applicable it was to our daily lives. I was able to see the rise of ChatGPT and other LLMs and how people were using them in my academic life. Some people would use it unethically on tests or assignments, but it could also be used to create practice problems. Being able to see how rapidly it's evolving in front of me was the main reason I became interested. It's affecting our academic life so much that it's imperative that we are at the forefront of how it's being developed. My school is a math and science academy, so I got to explore independent research related to LLMs. One of the main things I worked on was how LLMs can sometimes indirectly give out private data. Say you ask it to code something for you that requires an API key, which is sensitive information. Because it's trained on a vast amount of data, it could have an API key in its data set, and it'll give you code, possibly including the API key. My most accomplished research project was developing an algorithm to cut out those private pieces of data during its training to allow it not to spew out these pieces of private data during use. AI is such a new field that's evolving that if we're able to set roots in it right now, we'd be able to see that outcome as we grow older. Understanding its security is very important to me, especially considering it's being used almost blindly by everyone. What interests me is being at the forefront and making sure I can have some say in how my data is being used. I'm applying to undergrad programs right now, and I'm also looking at some untraditional routes where you go straight into an industry. Right now, in computer science, sometimes a degree is just a baseline, and if you have the skills, it's not even necessary. So, I'm looking into other options. Laksh Patel, 17, Willowbrook, Illinois. Healthcare access starts with communities. My family on both sides has a long history of women developing neurodegenerative disease, mostly Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. So I spent my whole childhood playing doctor, treating my family matriarchs, tending to them, and seeing how their diseases progressed. I became so interested in how these diseases worked and how I could help patients like the ones in my family and my community who didn't have access to medical resources because of their income. I've really developed a love for patient care, for being able to help a person in such a debilitating time in their lives. As those female family members began to fade away and pass on, I realized how quickly these diseases spread and why they were so detrimental, especially without proper medicine. When I got into high school, I started to get oriented with research so that I could gain a base level of understanding to bring to college to try to begin my career as early as possible and help more people. Right now, I want to be a pediatric neurologist. I really enjoy working with kids, and I'm really interested in the structure of the brain and how that works. I love the process of continuous uncovering and continuous discovery, and with the brain, there's so much to learn. As your understanding of the brain grows, you grow too, because there's so much more that you begin to understand about yourself. There's so much knowledge to not just be captured by yourself, but also to give back. If I can be the translator that helps communities understand what's going on in their brains, the factors that could make them more prone to developing certain diseases, and we could manage them, I would absolutely love to be that beacon throughout the rest of my life. I've heard that AI is revolutionizing medicine because it processes information much quicker. But seeing how it's been infiltrating the minds of our youth, that they've become so heavily dependent on it that they use AI for every single task, it's just so sad to see. As someone that studies the mind, we're weakening our minds when we're so heavily reliant on AI. The way I see it used right now, it's got me very hesitant. Amelia Andrea Ramirez, 16, New York City. AI takes away the element of curiosity. I was always a why kind of child. When my parents told me, "Don't do something," I always thought, "Why?" I feel like science explains a lot of that. Most of the time, people who know science make good decisions because they're more informed about how the world works. When you take the time to figure out why certain things work the way that they do, you're more inclined to think critically about things before you just make decisions. Since I was a little kid, I've wanted to work in a hospital. I definitely want to be a doctor of something sciency. Biology has always been my favorite. The most interesting thing about it is that it builds upon itself. People are working to figure things out, and you don't even know about it until they say, "We've been trying to figure out the function of this and why it's important to life for decades." With biology, you'll never run out of things to learn. But I think that AI could make people, including myself, less compatible for a job because it takes away the element of curiosity. You're not digging for answers anymore, so you just go for immediate gratification. That's not fair to my generation and the generations after me who aren't going to know what it's like to learn things without the use of the internet. For example, being a doctor is all about conversations with your patients, but with AI, you could just use the computer to figure out what you need to do. Then you're not actually thinking, you're just playing messenger. Gionde Duwald, 17, Lambertville, New Jersey. Think like an engineer. I like engineering because there isn't much to memorize. It's purely based on concept. based on variables X and Y, you can find variable Z, which I find super cool. For example, if a soccer player kicks a ball with this amount of force, and the ball is in the air for 5 seconds, how far will the ball go? You can calculate it. That's crazy, you know? There's a correct answer. In English, there isn't really a correct answer. But in physics, and as an engineer, there's a correct answer. Right now, I'm looking toward industrial engineering. I'm very interested in how whole systems interact with one another. In a factory, for example, instead of just looking at the machine that makes the capsules for vitamins, I'm interested in seeing how people are doing the spreadsheets and importing the materials in a foreign country. How the whole system works is very interesting to me because it's something larger than yourself. Industrial engineering is about optimizing things. With AI, there's still going to be a need to make things more efficient. What I tell myself is that, at the end of the day, a system will still need a human behind it, you know? You'll always need a human to verify things and create that bond between humans. That's what keeps me a bit calmer and, I guess, helps me just be more human. Maybe connecting with people and being friends would be more beneficial than studying for the math test. Simon Teixeira, 17, Miami, Florida. AI won't take over. Back in fifth grade, I had my first science fair project. I asked my dad for help with it. He's a bioinformatics researcher. Instead of counting all the bacteria colonies inside the petri dishes manually, he taught me how to use computer science vision tools and apply color thresholding to help count the number of bacteria colonies for me. That was really fun. Doing science fair was one of my first experiences where I felt like I was something more than just an elementary schooler, and was actually doing something that was impactful. Sophomore year of high school, I got back into science fair, specifically through machine learning, because that's what my dad was doing at the time. It's very cool, the concept that, using a bunch of simple math, we can chain it together to create models that can predict pretty much anything in our world that is quantifiable. I definitely want to get into that field when I grow up, and more specifically, I want to do stuff with medicine and medical imaging. The other day, I told one of my friends, I want to be a machine learning engineer, and he outright told me, "Bro, that's not going to be a job in 10 years. He's very optimistic about AI and the capabilities it will have, but I'm more skeptical of it. From my viewpoint, being involved in this for several years now, there are certain roadblocks in AI that will prevent it from developing much further. AI is certainly overhyped, maybe because it was so underhyped before. A lot of the hype we're seeing around AI has to do with startups in Silicon Valley, backed by Y Combinator, or A16Z, and 90% of them, in my opinion, are just wrappers for AIs that already exist. I've seen a lot of videos online of people being like, AI is going to take over by 2027, but I'm not so sure about that. I would definitely say that the frontier of large language models is slowing down. Maybe in 50 years, we'll see models that truly can take over jobs. We don't really know. Jaden Zhang, 17, Lexington, Kentucky. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. The journey away from external validation. Why It's Okay to Choose Yourself. This article was written by Nahir Sibikioglu on October 11th. When you are making decisions about your life, whose voice do you listen to? Yours or everyone else's? Most of us grow up surrounded by expectations. Get good grades, aim for prestige, make money, make your parents proud. But at some point, you have to pause and ask whether the path you're walking is the one you actually want. Learning to set goals for yourself and not for validation can completely change how you view success. I also used to think success meant getting everyone's approval. For a long time, I shaped my goals around what would impress others, not what would actually make me happy. But the more I chased validation, the emptier it felt. It took me a while to realize that living for other people's applause is just another way of losing yourself, and that choosing yourself is the bravest thing you can do. And that is exactly what we will be talking about in this article. The problem, living for validation. External validation is something most of us fall into without realizing. It's the constant need for approval, doing things not because they feel right, but because we want others to notice and praise us. At first, it feels good. Being complimented or admired gives a temporary sense of worth. But over time, it becomes a trap. You start choosing your goals, hobbies, and even personality traits based on what others find impressive. The more you chase their approval, the less you recognize your own voice. And that's the real danger, losing touch with who you are just to keep everyone else happy. Psychologically, this happens because we're wired to seek belonging. From a young age, we learn that being accepted means being safe. But when that natural desire for connection turns into dependence, we begin to lose touch with who we really are. We stop asking, "What do I want?" and start asking, "What will make them proud of me?" Redefining success on your own terms. But you don't have to live this way forever. You can always get out. Somewhere along the way, many of us teens are taught that success has only one shape: the top grades, the prestigious schools, the impressive careers. But the truth is, not everybody has to go to Harvard or Oxford. Not everyone has to become a doctor, lawyer, or engineer. It doesn't matter if those are the ones society deems worthy, because real success isn't about how others measure your worth. It's about how you feel when you look in the mirror. When you start defining success for yourself, you'll realize that the people who truly care about you will be proud of you as long as you are happy with what you do. They'll care more about your happiness and feelings than your status. You don't need to ace every test or follow the path that looks best. What matters is that you gave your best, that you're doing something that feels meaningful to you. To me, that is quite literally the meaning of life. Success, when you strip away the noise of other people, is being able to say, "I'm proud of myself." It's usually other people's voices that warp it into something else. Once you learn to measure your worth by your own standards, not by other people's thoughts, you'll realize just how much of a burden you let go of. Put it into action. Happiness often hides in the things no one else will notice at first. The piano you've always wanted to learn, the sketchbook you keep putting off, the small business idea you're hesitant to share. These are the things that truly matter to you. And yes, it can be scary to start something that might not earn applause, likes, or approval. But here's the truth. The first step is always yours to take. And that courage is worth more than any praise. Begin with tiny actions. Set aside just 10 minutes a day for something that excites you. Write that paragraph, play that chord, take that walk, or experiment with that idea. No one needs to see it. No one needs to approve it. Every small step is proof that you are choosing yourself, that your joy matters more than others' expectations. So go ahead, start the thing that makes you happy, even if it seems unimportant to others. Because when you live for yourself, every small victory becomes a declaration. I am enough, and I choose my own path. Choosing you is never easy, but always worthwhile. When you start making choices for the joy of it, instead of for validation, you reclaim your voice, your confidence, and your life. Every small step you take toward what excites you is proof that your joy matters more than anyone else's applause. So be bold and start. Be bold and create. And be bold and live on your terms. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Billie Eilish to billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg, give away your money. This article was written by Lex McMenamin on October 30th. Billie Eilish has always been one to speak her mind. While accepting the Wall Street Journal's Innovator Award for Music last night, she closed out her speech with a message to the rich, presumably in part for Meta head Mark Zuckerberg in the room at the time, who, according to Forbes, is the third richest person in the world. Love you all, but there's a few people in here that have a lot more money than me, she said slyly, making some cheekily awkward faces before concluding and taking her leave of the stage. If you're a billionaire, why are you a billionaire? No hate, but yeah, give your money away, shorties. The 23-year-old had been using her speech to express hope that people would be using their wealth for the greater good. We're in a time right now where the world is really, really bad and really dark, and people need empathy and help more than kind of ever, especially in our country, Eilish said, per People. I'd say if you have money, it would be great to use it for good things, maybe give it to some people that need it. According to People, an eyewitness claims Zuckerberg did not clap following Eilish's message. He was in attendance with his wife, Priscilla Chan, who was also receiving an award. Others in attendance included Hailey Bieber, whom Eilish was photographed alongside later in the evening. Eilish was introduced by Stephen Colbert, who announced on Eilish's behalf that she would be donating $11.5 million from her Hit Me Hard and Soft tour to support organizations, projects, and voices dedicated to food equity, climate justice, reducing carbon pollution, and combating the climate crisis. She detailed to the Wall Street Journal how she tries to reduce harm to the environment during her tours, from providing plant-based food to biodegradable confetti to more sustainably made merch to inviting attendees to bring their own water bottles. Billie Eilish has a net worth of about $50 million, so it's a bit about 20% of her net worth. One Redditor commented, receiving 5,000 upvotes at time of this writing. Imagine if Larry Ellison, second richest man in the world and worth billions, did even 10%. We would be able to eradicate world hunger. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Taylor Swift announces Eras Tour docuseries and film coming to Disney Plus. This article was written by Sarah Delgado on October 13th. Taylor Swift has just announced her Eras era is not over on GMA. On Monday, October 13th, 2025, the singer announced a 6-part docuseries, Taylor Swift: The Eras Tour, The End of an Era, premiering on Disney Plus on December 2, 2025, as well as the simultaneous release of a new concert film, Taylor Swift: The Eras Tour, The Final Show, chronicling the tour finale in Vancouver. GMA first teased the news on Sunday, October 12th, labeling it as a huge new exclusive announcement. Taylor Swift's GMA announcement comes on the heels of the release of her 12th studio album, The Life of a Showgirl, which was released on October 3, 2025, and, according to Billboard, has gone on to break the record for 1-week pure album sales record over the modern era in the U.S., breaking Adele's longstanding record for 25, which she achieved in 2015. Prior to the release of The Life of a Showgirl, Swift shared another major announcement with her fans. Back in August, the star announced she and Travis Kelce, who serves as inspo for part of the album, as fans have immediately noticed, got engaged after 2 years of dating. Swift hard-launched the engagement on Instagram with a series of photos from the bucolic proposal, including a peek at her custom vintage-inspired engagement ring, a bezel old mine-cut diamond in a yellow gold band with hand engraving. Details about Kelce and Swift's wedding have also slowly and surely been emerging, with sources close to the couple saying it will definitely be a private affair and not a spectacle, similar to that of her best friend Selena Gomez. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program